Good morning and welcome back to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and as usual, every Monday we talk Texas wheat with Ms. Steely Fischbacher. How are you doing today, Ms. Steely?
I'm good. Glad to be with you today.
Awesome. So what's up first today with Texas wheat and what's going on around the world with Texas wheat and our wheat conditions?
Right. So we typically kind of discuss what's happening in the field, and not much has changed. We've had a little bit of precipitation here and there over the last month, but certainly nowhere near what we need to jumpstart and improve overall our crop conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we've got 7% of our acres rated as in good condition, 12% fair, and 81% poor to very poor.
Mm.
USDA put out updated stats for kind of all of the winter wheat producing states last week, and they actually charted them on a map, and Texas was by far in the worst condition compared to all the other states. So it's not just us that's going through a drought, but it does seem like because our wheat matures earlier than some of our northern friends, that it has made a bigger impact in our conditions.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I look at the Texas wheat acres, 99% are categorized in some form of drought, and that's also along with 11 other states where at least 80% of their winter wheat area is in drought. So,
mm-hmm.
Again, not just something that's happening in Texas. We've had high temperatures, high wind over the last few days here, and expected more this week, which will not help crop conditions. And then as well, over the weekend, actually had freeze warnings in the northern parts of Oklahoma and on into Kansas. So that may have an impact on crop conditions also. So as we look at, you know, what will our crop conditions translate to in terms of futures prices, obviously we still have a lot of strong support in the futures market right now. Had a pretty decent week last week. Early in the week, had a few couple big days of higher prices in those contracts that we'll continue to watch. Our export sales continue to be disappointing. That is updated weekly by USDA, and it looks like we might actually fall short of our current USDA projection. Might have seen some changes in the WASDE report late Friday afternoon, but as of right now, we're expected to come in below that USDA projected figure. So, again, lower than expected exports at this time, but going forward, there's some optimism for new crop sales. We do know, again, you know, we talk about this from week to week, and it's such a major story in the wheat industry is what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. And so that will be a disruption to our markets. We might have the potential to have increased exports due to that. Some of that wheat may not make it into those regular export channels, and we might see some marketing opportunities, but not currently what we're seeing this week.
So I know that we're all going through a drought and everything, and what do you think farmers as well as consumers need to do to kind of like prepare and know, you know, what's coming? It's pretty bad and the worst news that's possible. What do you think farmers and consumers need to prepare for in the future if we don't get any more precipitation anytime soon?
Yeah, those are really tough decisions. You know, the amount of the farm dollar that's in a loaf of bread, so the amount of that cost of the loaf of bread that is actually derived or goes back to the farmer is very small,
mm-hmm.
Very small, actually. And so whenever you look at, we do have inflation going on right now, and we do have rising cost of food items at the grocery store. That's not just because we're seeing higher wheat prices.
Mm-hmm.
That may be where a lot of folks try to connect those headlines, but actually a lot of that is due to transportation costs. We have fuel prices and, you know, different challenges in our transportation industry right now that are really raising those costs, more so than what that farm dollar portion is. Mm-hmm. So that's important for our consumers to keep in mind, but it does make that monthly budgeting absolutely challenging. And that's not only a problem that we have here, you know, in the United States. We have a very stable supply of wheat for our domestic market. We actually export about half of what we produce, so we should have ample supplies. But also in foreign countries who rely a lot on imports of their food products, specifically wheat, it's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. And I know that up in the Capitol Hill, we're always having new issues to discuss. So what's happening in the House Ag Committee right now?
Well, so last week, they actually continued their series of farm bill hearings. Mm-hmm. And this one was actually focused on kind of food aid type activities. And we had the opportunity for the wheat industry to have one of our own in the room, Nicole Berg, who's currently serving as the president of the National Association of Wheat Growers, testified in that hearing on the importance of several farm bill programs in this area, one of them being food aid. I was just talking about countries who rely on imports of wheat, and especially those underdeveloped countries who cannot pay top dollar prices to feed their consumers. And so we do a lot of work through food aid specific to wheat. Wheat is one of the largest users of that program. And in fact, if we were to chart our food aid sales, it would come in our top 10 export locations. So we do send a lot of wheat through the food aid program. Wheat is a product that goes directly to a consumer's table, whereas some of our other crops that we grow here in Texas are more for the feed and fiber channels. Wheat is food. And so we were very glad to be able to be at that hearing. Also, another focus of the testimony given there from the wheat perspective was the importance of market development programs. We're very familiar with those here at Texas Wheat because we do run the wheat checkoff. And then we fund U.S. Wheat Associates. And U.S. Wheat Associates, their main focus and pretty much their sole priority is focused on increasing our wheat exports around the world. So the Market Access Program and Foreign Market Development Program help them. They actually match and even double our farmer investment by allowing U.S. Wheat Associates to have foreign offices and foreign staff around the world who can train wheat importers on the quality of U.S. wheat, how to implement U.S. wheat into their mills and bakeries, and the importance of that and kind of the value, and kind of just that step-by-step process of how do you import wheat from the United States? Where should you source it from? What are the quality parameters that you're going to get? Mm-hmm. And we do all of that work through checkoff dollars from farmers across the United States, and then partnered with USDA through these MAP and FMD programs. And so we always go in and try to maintain and even increase funding for those programs because we see that it really has a large impact, not only on the food aid side of being able to feed people around the world while using our commodities that we're producing, which provides value to our farmers, but also through those increased export sales.
And I know that the House Committee of Ag is really focusing hard on trying to create a great farm bill that's very suitable. So I heard that there was a new farm bill survey. Do you know what that entails for future farmers and what we're going to hear coming up in the farm bill?
Sure. So the farm bill survey has been developed by the National Association of Wheat Growers in concert with their state associations like Texas Wheat Producers. And we're actually trying to get this survey filled out by as many farmers as we can, and for my purposes, as many Texas farmers as we can, mm-hmm. so that we have a strong perspective from farmers telling us what our priorities should be in this next farm bill. So I mentioned, you know, they're already having hearings, they're having conversations at the staff level of what should be improvements or changes included in the next farm bill. We're still very early in this process, but now is the time for us to hear from farmers. You know, what do they need to see? You talked about, you know, making these really hard decisions that they need to make out in the field when they don't have rainfall. Well, what improvements could be made to crop insurance or to the farm safety net that would help them during those times? Right now we have really high production expenses. We have our inputs have escalated to a point where it's very hard to afford them, and it's very painful to go out and buy that diesel and buy that fertilizer, especially when you're in the middle of a drought, and is it going to pay off? And so what do we need to change in our Farm Bill programs that could help our producers in these types of situations? And that's what we want to know. So the way that they can send us this input is through filling out this Farm Bill survey. It's actually hosted on the National Association of Wheat Growers website, which is wheatworld.org. But you can actually catch a link to it on texaswheat.org as well. So we just encourage farmers to fill out that survey. It really won't take that long. It's about a 15-minute survey. And just really great information for us all to have to make sure that when we start working on the Farm Bill that we have what they need inside of it.
Yeah, of course, and all the producers and agriculturalists out there, make sure to fill it out because sometimes our voice isn't heard out on the fields or out on the ranch, and to kind of see what we need as producers. Now, I know that Texas Wheat's always trying to do events and different programs for our producers. So what new events are happening within Texas Wheat?
Sure. So I just want to touch quickly on a couple of things we have going on, just to kind of give a sense of what the association and the board do here. So we do have wheat field days starting. So this would be our uniform wheat variety trials that are planted across the state. And then the wheat field days where we get the opportunity to kind of put on a program, but really have farmers come out and see how the different varieties performed, hear about their different characteristics in terms of insect resistance, yield potential, all of those factors. And so the first one of those are kicking off next week. I'll actually be down just outside of Waco attending one of those, and then we'll start to work our way back here into the High Plains. And then also, we also kind of focus on its consumer education. We talked a little bit about that earlier, and one of those events is happening next week. This one is hosted by the Wheat Foods Council. So Darby Campsey of our office will be attending that. It's focused on the future of food, so kind of a different angle than what we would, you know, talk about to our farmers in terms of yield and varieties. Totally different audience here. Mm-hmm. So trying to push out that message of kind of the healthful benefits of wheat in your diet and what that looks like and how wheat is sustainably produced. And we have a very good climate smart agriculture practices that we've been implementing over time to improve the way that we can produce wheat. So we're kind of focusing on that type of message at that event and then following back up with you hopefully next week.
Awesome. Well, if you have any questions or are looking for more information, always visit Texas Wheat for any events or any programs that they're doing, as well as if you need to get a hold of anybody. I think that wraps it up for us, Ms. Steele. Again, thank you so much for coming out for us.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's it from the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour.